You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. If you've ever visited the museum at the Rosie the Riveter World War II Homefront National Historical Park on the Richmond waterfront, chances are you've heard of its most celebrated storyteller. At age 96, Betty Reed Soskin is the country's oldest park ranger. Her talks pack the house, and she's helped to shape the scope of the museum through her personal recollections. Now, Betty Reed has written a book about her experiences called Sign My Name to Freedom, a memoir of a pioneering life. And at one point in that life, she sat down with StoryCorps to tell her story.
Rosie the Riveter as a concept leaves out an awful lot of history. As a woman of color, during that period, I never did see a ship under construction. I came in to work every day in a carpool, working in the center of Richmond in a temporary building that was the segregated union hall, because the unions were not yet racially integrated. So all of the black workers were funneled into this temporary union where we had no power, no vote, paid union dues, but were segregated. But you have to go back 3 years before then. I would have been Betty Charbonnet graduating from high school in Oakland. I would have been the child of a service workers generation. Our fathers and our uncles were the Pullman porters and the waiters and the red caps, the bellhops, the janitors. Our mothers were 50 cents an hour domestic servants who took care of white people's homes and white people's children. And when I graduated from high school, my full expectation was to take my place in that world. And if you now scroll ahead to 13 years ago, and I'm back in Richmond as an equal participant in the planning of a park, I was the only one in the room who could look at the scattered sites and see them all as sites of segregation, because I'm the only person of color in the room. I became of value as a primary source. And I'm doing that not having become a genius between the time I was 20 and 13 years ago, but as a result of how much social change had occurred in this nation over those intervening years. And much of that acceleration came about because of what happened here in Richmond. Henry Kaiser, who believed that he could revolutionize shipbuilding, that all he had to do was to de-skill labor and break it into bite-sized pieces that even women could do or even black people could do. And he brought into a city of 23,000 a workforce of 98,000 black and white Southerners into Richmond to build his ships without the benefit of focus groups and diversity training, and that they had to negotiate every day to get through it, and that negotiation could happen, accelerated the rate of change that sowed the seeds of the Civil Rights Revolution in the 60s. What I haven't said is that my great-grandmother was born into slavery in 1846, that she was enslaved until she was 19. She was freed with the Emancipation Proclamation. But my great-grandmother lived to be 102. My mother, who was born in 1894, lived to be 101. But the three of us were all adult women together. And that all of that American history, slavery through Reconstruction and Plessy v. Ferguson and the First World War and Lindbergh's flight.
Lindbergh is coming down the gangplank. Here's the boy.
Amelia Earhart.
Then to a waiting world came news of disaster.
And Martin Luther King and Malcolm X.
That one day on the red hills of Georgia.
Selma and Birmingham.
We are going to walk non-violently and peacefully.
And the moon landing and the Mars probe.
Okay, all flight controllers, go, no go for landing. Retro.
Go.
Fido.
Go.
Guidance.
Go.
Control.
Go.
Telcom.
Go.
GNC.
Go.
Ecom.
Go.
Surgeon.
Go.
Capcom, we're go for landing.
The assassination of the Kennedys.
President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
All of that happened within the lifetime of three American women of color. That's not black history. That is what we've all done.